You know what's really cool is WCF Data Services. I mean, I love the way you can take a model and expose it over HTTP, and then lots of things, mobile phones, Excel, Power Pivot, lots of things can consume your data services feed. And it's pretty simple to create one of these. Now, data services are cool, but then you put them with Windows Server App Fabric, and it gets even better. The two of these are great, but the way they work together is not as great as it could be or will be in the future. So in this episode, I'm going to show you a new template I've created for Visual Basic with the WCF Data Service. All right, yeah, it's the same thing as I did for C# with the WCF App Fabric WCF Data Service, okay? But this is the Visual Basic version. So VB developers, cheer and rejoice, because here it is. All right, so let's get started with a walkthrough of this template. All right, first thing we need to do is create a new project. Now, this template is not a project template. It's an item template, so you add it to your web application. So to start with, I'm just going to create a web application. I'm naming it web application because that's what the walkthrough says to do. So let's start with that. And this is just an empty web application. So it just gives us a place to start. Okay, and so now I've got my empty web, and if we look here, there it is, empty web. So we're going to add a new item. So let's say add new item. And if we look here, we see if you have the App Fabric data service template installed, you'll see App Fabric here in the installed templates. And all we have to do is create one of these. Now, I know that I'm going to be creating a data service for the AdventureWorks database. So I'm just going to name this AdventureWorks. If I can spell it, adventureworks.svc. Okay, and so that's going to create our App Fabric data service. All right, and once it's created, we get some cool new stuff here. Let's take a look at our Solution Explorer and look what we've got. And so you see I have a service, an SVC file here, and I have an HTM file. And this HTM file gives me a little test page for my service. All right, now, the first thing we notice is that our service isn't very happy so far because we haven't put in a data source, a model. So we're going to have to fix that. But let me show you one other thing. Now, if I turn on Show All Files, we will see that under our SVC file, we have two things. We have the code behind for our service, which you already see in the editor here, but there's also this event provider. And the event provider is actually declared here in our service. It's this App Fabric event provider. And so what this does is it allows my data service to publish events that the App Fabric monitoring will pick up. And we'll see how there's some cool things you can do with that. So in the new method here, I am setting up a processing request handler where I'm going to write out an information event about what URI we're processing on each request. So that's going to be helpful. And then when we go to handle an error, we will write an error event into App Fabric so that it will show up properly like an error should in App Fabric. Now, if you don't do this, errors will happen in your data service, but App Fabric won't see them as errors. And so you have to handle it this way. All right, so one other very nice thing that you get with this is you get guidance. This comes in a window here called Guidance Browser, and it tells you about the template, gives you a link for this video, and you can discuss and feedback and so forth. Now, there's some steps to doing this about setting up and building your service. I'm going to take you through the walkthrough, so let's get to that. So step one, we need to create a project and a model. So I've already created my empty web application. Now, we haven't done this step. We need to add an ADO.NET entity model. So let's do one of those. So I'm going to say add new item. It's under data, entity model. And we're going to use the AdventureWorks database, adventureworks.edmx. Okay, and we'll generate from the database. I already have the connection string here because I've done this before, but if you need to, you can click on new connection and kind of set up your connection string. This is the name of the data source. We're going to need that later. So I'm just going to copy that. And now it's going off and reading the database to see what do you want to include. Now, I could choose particular tables or views that I want to expose in the model. Just to make this easy, I'm going to select all of them and click Finish. Now, what Visual Studio is doing now is kind of generating this model, modifying the web config to add connection strings and those kind of things. All right, so now we've got our model in place. And now we can go back to our data service and put the model in here. Now, it just happens that we are using an entity framework model to control or kind of be the driving force behind our data service, but you don't have to do entity framework models if you don't want to. If you get your data from something else or some other way you get your data, you can create a class that serves as the data source. And we have links in the documentation for you on that. Now let's go back to our guidance and see what the next step is. All right. So we've done our connection and set that all up. Now the next thing is we add an AppFabric data service, which we've already done. We named it AdventureWorks.svc, so we've got that. And then we've done this step where we initialize the name of the data source. Okay, so that's good. Now the next thing we need to do is modify this initialize service. Now there's this little button over here that says copy code. And the first time you click it, it'll be, you know, a few seconds while Visual Studio loads up the assemblies and whatnot, but then it says copied code to clipboard. Okay, so you can copy this code if you just want to paste it in. Now, I just want to point out, if you do this and hit Control C, unfortunately that doesn't copy. Yeah, you would think it should, but it does not. So if you do the copy code button, like I said, then you can just paste these in here. What we just did there is initialize our service. So this is a shared method, means that it's called only once when this type is constructed, and it kind of sets up the policies of our service. So here we're setting an access rule for our entities, okay? And we're saying that the star means all of the entities, okay? We're going to say all of them, it's read-only. Okay, and then we're going to also have some service operations, and we're going to say you have all rights to our service operations, okay? Now let's go to the next step. We're going to set up a service operation. So to do that, we're going to need to import service model web. So I'm going to copy that. We'll come up here and paste that in. So there's import service model web, and then we're going to add this method named say hello. Now you can actually, in a data service, you can create methods that just kind of do work and not just return data. So this one is a webget method. It's a say hello and allows you to pass in the name of the person you want to say hello to, and then you can say hello to them. So we're going to return hello with the name. Now I'm going to emit some events here. So if you pass an empty name, it's null or white space, then we'll write a little warning event. Now the user won't see this event, but it will get recorded in the AppFabric monitoring log. Otherwise, we're going to just record whoever we said hello to. All right. Now the next thing is just to build the solution. So I can click that link right there and it builds. Okay, great. Now let's go back to our guidance browser, and the next step is to enable monitoring. Now AppFabric has this really great monitoring infrastructure. And if you've seen demonstrations of AppFabric, you might have seen it used with workflows. And workflows kind of get all this rich monitoring kind of for free because, you know, workflows, the workflow runtime emits events constantly. But with WCF, you don't quite get it as free, right? So we see messages flowing in, we see messages flowing out, but if we want to get more detail about them, we need to extend our monitoring a little bit. So I'm going to open webconfig here and let's enable end-to-end monitoring, okay? Because for us to see events that are related to a service, we have to do it with end-to-end monitoring. So what I've done is I've set up all of the webconfig entries you need right here. So I'm just going to copy those and we'll paste them in here. And what have I done? Well, we've got the entries for AppFabric that enables end-to-end monitoring. And it does have the name of a connection string here. That's kind of the default connection string that normally gets set up with AppFabric, but if you used a different one, you can change the name. And that's the monitoring level we're going to have, end-to-end monitoring. Then we also set up kind of the end-to-end tracing for the ETW provider here. All right, now the next step is to enable routing. Now, routing is optional. Now, some people really they really want to get rid of the .svc in the URI of their service. Okay, if you're that kind of person, you're like, I hate the .svc, no problem. We can get rid of it. If you say, I don't care about the .svc, it can be there, it's fine, then you don't have to do this step. Okay, if you do want to get rid of it, let's say we do, first of all, you have to enable ASP.NET compatibility for WCF. Okay, so we have to turn that on. WCF can operate kind of inside the ASP.NET pipeline or sort of alongside of it, and so we're going to have to enable it to work inside. So in the system service model section, I'm just going to paste that right there. So ASP.NET compatibility is enabled. And then we have to turn on the URL routing module for IIS. Okay, so let me copy this, and we'll paste that right here below system service model. So this is the system web server section. If you already have one of those, you have to kind of merge these things in there. And what I've done is I've enabled the URL routing module and the URL routing handler. Okay, so that way routing is going to work for us. Now, one thing to keep in mind, I have a little note here with a big exclamation point. The URL routing handler will not work if HTTP redirection is not installed. Yeah, and you know, you would think alarm bells would happen or something would blow up, but actually it just silently doesn't work, and this will throw you off. So if you want to know more, you can click a link to a blog post I did on this. All right, now we sort of enabled the necessary machinery for routing, but now we need to put a route in place. So the way you do that is in the global ASAX file. So if I click here to add a global ASAX, you may already have one, so don't click that if you already have one. We're going to need some imports, so I'm going to copy those in here, and we'll just drop them right here at the top. Okay, and then in the application start, we're going to register a route. Okay, so if I copy this, I'm just going to replace this one. All right, and so you can see here, we've added a route. We knew up a service route. This is the URI that we're going to use. So the name of the server slash and then whatever we have here. So notice there's no .svc there, right? And so that's how we're going to route to this service. So I have a data service host factory that will new up one of these, and then AdventureWorks is the type of the data service class. Now we're ready to verify this just kind of with the development server right here inside of Visual Studio. So if I look at my Solution Explorer, let's pin that there, we will see that I have a nice little test HTM file here. So I can right click and say View in Browser, and came up over there. All right, so there's my little test page, and I can get to my service with the SVC or without. Okay, so first let's try it with the SVC, and we see the Atom Workspace document for our service. Cool, that means it's working, and it talked all the way to the database. If I want to test the routing, then I can use this second link, so there's no SVC on this, and you can see there in the URI, it is totally working. Cool. All right, the next step is to verify this with IIS. Now, if we want to do this with IIS, and we're going to have to run Visual Studio as administrator. And you can see that I'm already running as administrator. If you're not running as administrator, you must restart Visual Studio to get it going. All right, there's some other things. I have a link here to an article about the things that you have to do to make Visual Studio work with IIS. The first thing we want to do is set this thing up to work with IIS. So I'm just going to go into the project properties here. And then on the web tab, we can come on down here and say, we're going to use a local IIS web server. And we want just to use localhost slash web application. You can change the name if you want to. And create a virtual directory. Okay, once we've done that, now we can just browse to it, right? You don't have to start anything in Visual Studio. So I'm just going to click here to browse to that site, and we see our friendly test page here, and if we click the links, we see that they are working. Now, if the routed one does not work, be sure to check for that HTTP redirection thing I mentioned earlier. All right, so now we know that our service is working with IIS, and because it's working with IIS, we can get some coolness out of App Fabric. All right, so let's make this window a little larger, and we'll look at what we need to do. First of all, we need to open IIS Manager. So I've got it open here already, and I need to refresh this so we see our new website. There it is, web application. Okay, and then we want to open the App Fabric dashboard. All right, so the App Fabric dashboard sort of gives me a look at the workflows and services that are part of my web application. And so we can see I've got some data in my monitoring already. So let's clear that out. So in fact, I have a little PowerShell script that does this. And I have this on my blog if you want to see what it is. But it just runs some commands to kind of wipe out all the data. So let's refresh that. All right, so now I have some test links that you can do. You can just fire these up to kind of see that things are working, and we'll get some monitoring data from these test links. So here's one where I just brought up all of the products, right? And if we come back over here, we'll open product 680. There's just one product, right? Here we'll invoke that say hello method with name equals user. And so there it says hello user. Great. I'll come back over here, and we'll invoke one, say hello without a name. So this should generate a warning in our monitoring data, right? So there that is. And then we'll invoke this one, which has a bad resource link. So this will try to open something that doesn't exist, so it causes an error, and we should see an error in the App Fabric monitoring. Okay, let's go back to IIS. And now, you have to understand something about the way that App Fabric works with the monitoring. It's highly asynchronous, and it's very sensitive to how busy your computer is. So, sometimes it takes it a little while, a minute or two, before the events show up in the App Fabric monitoring database. Now, during the service publishing these events, it's using event tracing for Windows, which pushes those events down into the Windows kernel. And then there's an event collector service that's sitting out on the other side. It's listening to these events, plucking them off, and then it writes them into the database. So like I said, that whole process can take a little while. Now you just click refresh on the App Fabric dashboard, and you'll see that events will come through. And it looks like we have most of them here. There might be some more that come in. So let's just see what we've got here. First of all, we have a service exception. And we can see what service had the exception. It's AdventureWorks.svc. And so we can click here on service exceptions. And right away we can see, the resource was not found for segment bad resource link. So imagine if you have a data service, maybe you've got links or JavaScript on some pages or whatever, and you notice these errors are coming up. Well, looking at these will tell you what thing are people looking for that's causing this error. It gives you something to search for in your code base, right? In fact, if I look over here, this shows me all of the operations that have been completed on my service. Now, if I look at this operation completed, I see that the operation is named process request for message. Well, in fact, all of them are named that, right? Now, we know that we were actually doing different things. We were querying products, all of them, one product. We're doing the say hello method. So all of these were actually different things from the data service point of view. But at the WCF level, they all look like one thing. Okay, so this is where our monitoring gets better when we use the App Fabric data service template. So if I right-click here and say view all related events, now I get some more detailed information about that particular request. Now this works because we've enabled end-to-end tracing. So you see here in the query, end-to-end activity ID equals that, right? So now we get this custom event that we put out, this data service request, and it tells me what the processing was. So this is the one where we were just trying to get all the products, right? And if I go back and work my way up the stack, and view the related events. So this one is where we got product 680, okay? And then this one, view the related events. This one is where we did say hello. So we see there the sort of the get request for say hello name equals user. And then here we see the information event. It says say hello, and we said hello to a user named user. Okay, and then this one, if we view the related events, we see this is also a say hello, but this one has a warning. And the warning was that the name is empty. Okay, now the user didn't see that, but it went into our log. And then this one is where we had the error. So if we view all the related events, we see the request. Somebody was looking for, there's the full URI, bad resource link, right? And there's our service exception like we saw before. All right, so that's how you get tracked events. And all this goodness of the monitoring of Windows Server App Fabric out of your data service using Visual Basic. And if wouldn't matter if I had, you know, 10 servers on the web farm, as long as I point them all to the same monitoring database, I get this kind of information from all the servers in the farm. So it's a great way to enhance the supportability of your data services. I hope you enjoyed that. For Endpoint TV, I'm your host, Ron Jacobs.